there, it's Angela, and I'm so glad you found your way here to architecting. Creative careers can be stressful, and it's hard to be vulnerable, but this is your landing pad for raw honesty. I'll help you get clarity, reconnect with your passion, and have the career of your dreams. If you're ready to make a difference, have an impact, and say bye-bye to burnout, stick with me, and let's get architecting. Hey, Bright Lights. Welcome back to Architecting. If you are new here, we are so glad to have you part of this community. Here in the world of architecting, we believe and take a stand for stressless success, which means that you get to do work that feels meaningful, purpose-driven, and that gives you energy. You get to see that you're making a difference, and you learn the skills you need to be an unflinching advocate for the issues that you care about. And if that sounds good, check out and subscribe to my YouTube channel. You can not only listen to the podcast episodes through that, but you can see the video from the interview episodes, plus get great bonus content that you cannot get anywhere else. To join in the fun, head on over to Architecting on YouTube. You can also tag me there at Architecting Podcast. Make sure you subscribe so you get a notification every time new content comes up. You don't want to miss this. And speaking of things you don't want to miss, stay tuned for this episode. Grab a notepad. There is some really fire content that is going to take you a long way to navigating your days with a lot more ease than you ever thought possible. I am zooming in today on how we can better work in a collaborative way and have the boundaries that we need so that our energy isn't getting siphoned off by things that we could be delegating to someone else, saying no to, or just managing better in terms of our time. Let's dig into this. Now, I've done quite a few episodes on burnout where I give a pretty in-depth view as to what causes it, but a quick recap. Burnout is related to stress in that stress is, like I like to say, burnout's gateway drug. Stress, however, is not what causes burnout. What causes burnout is not feeling seen, heard, or appreciated or supported, doing work that doesn't feel meaningful, or feeling like you don't have control over your circumstances. Those things together over time will create burnout. And even though we're a few years out from the pandemic, the world has not gone back to where it was. That heightened stress response and hypervigilance state that we were all under has really eroded our nervous system and decreased our tolerance for dealing with a lot of things that make us unhappy, uncomfortable. Human connection has not fully been restored because a lot of things that have gone virtual have stayed virtual out of convenience, but that's taken away from our ability to do things like have that interpersonal connection, have those hallway moments that are not part of an official meeting, or just read body language from people. We've also had a real questioning of priorities. We all lost a lot of our personal agency, and getting it back, we're not always clear that what we thought we wanted at one time is still what we want today. So how do we regroup in this new world of work, but still do exciting work? How do we deal with teams that may not be physically connected? How do we deal with clients that are used to an asynchronous kind of way of interacting and therefore think that there's a 24-hour work cycle going on, which can be very draining. So let's unpack this. Stress is something that I have studied for a large portion of my career, and it really is a sneaky and insidious thing because in the short term, we think that we can handle it. And in our society, we've normalized it. In the culture of design, that is the AEC industry, we've even made being stressed out a badge of honor, something we can brag about, how much we can do given so little resources. I'm going to tell you why stress is not your BFF in the modern workplace. First of all, over time, stress depletes your body of resources because physiologically, our bodies use the stress response to physically exert itself to either fight off or escape danger. So all kinds of things are going on with your hormones that activate different systems. When you're stressed out, your immune system shuts down, which is why you get sick when you've been burning the candle at both ends and really stressed out. Your digestive system shuts down, which can not only lead to gastrointestinal issues, but can eventually lead to leaky gut syndrome, which can cause aches and pains in your muscles and a whole host of other problems. Higher level thought, the thing that we most need in our universe as architects and creative professionals, is compromised because the body is in that base brain amygdala state. Nothing about what happens with the stress response is actually useful to us. If we want to be high performing, we need to optimize our health and well-being, not be actively sabotaging it. If we want to really take our creativity next level, we can't have our brain in survival mode. This is why stress in the short term is bad. And in the long term, if you imagine that all these things I just said are happening to you all day, every day, this is really taking a toll on your physical and mental health. It creates inflammation, which is the root cause of things like diabetes, cancer, heart disease, high blood pressure, anxiety, depression, PTSD. We really need to acknowledge that stress is not a good thing. The body keeps score. If you have been under a lot of stress for a prolonged period of time, going for a spa day is not going to cut it. It's going to take some time, and it's going to require doing some things to consciously re-regulate your nervous system. When we are under chronic stress, something happens called hypervigilance, which means that our stress levels get triggered very easily, and our body is on hyper alert for danger. And again, I know you're going to say, I'm not in any danger, but what your body views as danger is coming from the signals that your mind is sending. And what are you thinking about? Where can we find the root cause fear in what you're doing? If I don't perform well, the client's going to be mad at me. If my boss isn't happy with me, I won't get that promotion. If I don't do this for my kids, this is going to be viewed poorly and a total mom fail, right? All these stories we tell ourselves that keep us in that hypervigilant state. And we were already dealing with this pre-pandemic. The pandemic sent a lot of people over the edge with that. As we have come out of the pandemic, we aren't doing that reset. My pro tip is to do some things that will consciously reset. Do a forward fold. putting your head lower than your heart signals to your body that it is safe and helps to re-regulate your nervous system. So you can spend a minute or two breathing in that position. You can also rub your thighs or give yourself a hug. Touch is something that calms down our nervous system. Breathing is another great thing. And in my Stressless Success course, I teach breath work as part of each of the 8 modules, because when we regulate our breathing, we are telling our whole autonomic nervous system that it can regulate itself differently. And a really simple breath work that you can do is breathe in for a count of 4, hold for a count of 4, breathe out for a count of 4, and hold for a count of 4. It helps you to breathe more deeply. It helps you to breathe more regularly. And again, that cues your body that it's safe. You can also use a mantra, saying something like, I am safe, I am safe, I am safe. I have nothing to protect or defend. I am safe. Can be really powerful. Even though it might not seem like it on the surface, if you really were to journal or spend time thinking about how you feel stressed out and what's causing it and why you have the reactions you do, you will find that there are things that you have told yourself are not okay, that are threats to your well-being. By having those activated, you also activate the stress response within your body. You can also try saying clear, cancel, delete when you notice one of these thoughts popping in. Telling yourself that this is just a thought, that it doesn't have to control you, that it doesn't have to activate the stress response. At the start of meetings or before you talk to someone, take a little bit of time to settle in. At our workplace, we do something called grounding in, where we just ask people to close their eyes and pause for 30 seconds before we begin a meeting. That way you're not flustered, you're not in this energy tornado and then trying to go into a meeting. You feel grounded, you feel calmer, you're much better able to see the bigger picture and to have empathy for others. When we're in survival mode, it's a lot harder to have empathy because we make everything about us and we view other people's reactions as a potential threat to our safety. Even if common sense tells us that's not really true, that's not how our body is responding. Look for ways to introduce positivity into a team, because there's a very real psychological phenomenon called mirroring. If you are positive, if you see the good in a situation and you vocalize that, it helps other people to also see that. If you see the negative, then they start to see the negative too. And remember, we are predisposed, because we want to survive, to look for the negative. So we have to really work and be conscious to introduce the positive. Next up is that human connection. And that is harder than ever when we work in remote teams, when our meetings are over the internet and using things like Zoom or Microsoft Teams instead of in person. We can't read body language. We often can't make eye contact, and we're all focused on a screen. How can we bring back that human connection? Whenever possible, have a face-to-face meeting. That really does change the dynamic of how people work together. And it also gives you those opportunities for what I call the hallway moment, which is the conversations you're having that are not about the purpose of the meeting. The small talk. Those are a lot harder to do online. So build in some time for small talk. Make it a point to schedule some time with individual team members and you one-on-one, where you can just have a personal conversation that is not high stakes, that is not a performance review, that is not about business. That's just about connecting person to person, getting to know one another better. Well-being checks. How are you doing? And if somebody tells you something that seems like they've got a lot on their plate, don't jump to offering advice or trying to fix things. Instead, just listen. Let that person really feel seen and heard. If it does seem like they are struggling, ask them if you can offer an insight or advice. Ask them questions about what resources they have available. If they're willing to seek additional assistance, you can put them in touch with other resources. Like maybe the HR department can help them. Maybe you can share other resources that are available within the community, support groups, or other things that they could connect with. All of those things help you to be more vulnerable, more authentic, and help other people then show up as their more vulnerable and more authentic self as well. That psychological safety really does help to create a human connection. Remember that the resources that we have are our time, our talent or our expertise, and our financial resources. So how can we leverage those three to give us what we need, to give our team members what they need? And it might look like restructuring projects a little bit differently. It might look like bringing in additional help or consultants. It might look like taking time to do something like a team building workshop or a design charrette in order to really get there. It's important to use these tactics with your clients too. When we lose that human connection, a lot of our dealings can feel very transactional. And it's easy in that situation to make a lot of demands and not understand the implications of those demands. So get to know your clients as people. Get to know the stresses and pressures that they are dealing with and show them how the work you're doing together can help them navigate those areas for themselves and the organizations they represent. And that leads right into the last thing, which is priorities and boundaries. As more and more of our interactions become asynchronous, we can do things anywhere, anytime, but that doesn't mean that it's good for our well-being. Now, work-life balance, where we get to completely hermetically seal one part of our life off from the other, is definitely a thing of the past. However, when we think about work-life integration, it does not mean that work gets priority. If you are exhausted, I don't care how much work you have to do or how many errands you have to run, taking a nap should be your number one priority. And that feels counterintuitive. However, if you are sleep deprived, you are more impaired than if you were drunk. There is research out there that shows that. You are not doing anyone any favors by trying to slog through if you're tired. Your number one priority should be to take a nap, and you'll come back refreshed. You will do more better in less time as a result. If you're hungry, you need to take time to eat and eat something nourishing, not just something that will fill your body. If you've spent your whole day mainlining coffee and you've lost your appetite, you've also lost a lot of vital nutrition. Remember that the body keeps score. So if we want to feel better, if we want to do better, if we want our mood to be elevated, we got to take care of our body. More serotonin is produced in our gut than in our brain. So when we don't have good gut health, when we don't have good nutrition, We're compromising ourselves physically and mentally in a way that is not sustainable. Make self-care a non-negotiable. It isn't selfish. It's the best way you can serve other people. If you are completely depleted, what you are giving is toxic sludge. There is nothing positive there. You're not doing anyone any favors. Prioritizing the right things at the right time. And also goes to multitasking. When we're multitasking, we're basically making everything a priority. But studies show every time you switch tasks, you lose 25% of your productivity. If you've ever had one of those days where you are trying to figure out how to fill out your timesheet because you know you worked hard all day, but you can't really think what you did, it's probably because you spent way too much of the day responding to the ping of your inbox and shifting between multiple tasks. Block your time, get things done one thing at a time, and you will get more things done. Along with priorities comes the corresponding boundaries. If my health and well-being is a priority, then that means my workday has boundaries to it. It means a deadline has to be reasonable. And if changes are made, the deadline has to shift as well. It means we have to make a clear case to our teams and to our clients about what we can do, what we can't do, and what circumstances we need to be successful. Not just say yes because we want to make somebody else happy and they want us to say yes, but because yes is really the right answer. And I know I'm going to get a lot of blowback on that one because people are thinking, well, I can't just do whatever I want. Sometimes you just have to suck it up and get things done. That's mostly right. There are the things we have to do that we don't love to do. But how many things are we letting be energy vampires in our life that we could delegate to somebody else? And how many things could we legitimately just say no? A great example is volunteering for things. Volunteer for something when it is in your best interest to do that. If it's with a professional organization and the task that you are volunteering for is aligned with your career goals, that feels like a priority. When the PTO at your kid's school wants you to bake cookies for a bake sale and you don't have time, that does not sound like a priority. So whenever there's an ask of your time, weigh that against the cost benefit to you in all three ways you have resources. What is this going to cost you in terms of time, in terms of money, in terms of your creative energy? A lot of people are afraid to set boundaries because they worry, and that's that fear response that's triggering stress, that's telling you you're not safe, that a client or a boss or even a coworker will be unhappy with them, and that will lead to something bad happening if they don't say yes to every demand. But the opposite is true. If you say yes to everything and you perform heroic stunts to accomplish it, and you do that on the regular, people just think that that's who you are and what you do. They don't realize what it took out of you in order to get them that result, and they take it for granted. When you have a boundary, it means you set up the appropriate conditions for which you will do something, and that you make it clear what it will actually take, and you have that conversation. And when you do that, you'll find that people respect you more and that they start to be more considerate of your time or to ask permission instead of just assuming that you're going to show up and do what they need. It's kind of like when you train your dog. If you train your dog to do something or to follow a certain command, the dog will do it. But if you don't train your dog, the dog is not going to behave the way you want the dog to behave on its own naturally. Train the people in your life about what you are and are not willing to do and the circumstances in which you are willing to do it. And know that this is the most loving way that you can interact with people. When we don't have boundaries, people will unknowingly overreach when it comes to the demands they place on our time, our money, or our talent. And we will come to resent that. And in our modern workplace, where so much happens asynchronously, being very conscious about boundaries matters more than ever. Especially if you have a fluid work day where you are not working a 9-to-5 set schedule, you also need to be aware that you are not working a 10-hour day or having a day that is so riddled with interruptions that you have to work extra hours because you have to make up for the lost productivity. This is your roadmap to navigating the working world, to stay on track with the things that matter to you, to cut down on the things that are not serving you, and to better interact with your team and your clients so that you can all be more productive, less stressed, and less burned out. If this was helpful to you, please share it with a friend. Like, rate, and review this podcast. The biggest thing that you can do to take a stand on these issues is to help more people be aware, be having these conversations, and be taking these kinds of steps. One of the easiest ways to do that is by supporting the architecting community, by sharing it with your friends and your colleagues. You can always reach out to me on Instagram at Architecting Podcast or send me a direct email, Angela@architectingpodcast.com. And do not forget to head on over to that YouTube channel. There's lots of great things over there, and I really enjoy being able to connect to you in a visual way, not just through the audio of a podcast. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time. Thanks for listening. If you want even more content, head on over to architectingpodcast.com and subscribe to my newsletter and get some great free downloads while you're there. Be sure to follow me on social media, on Instagram at Architecting Podcast, Facebook and LinkedIn pages are Architecting, and the YouTube channel, Architecting Podcast. Stay inspired.